I decided to do this with a PowerPoint because for me, it's all about images. I learn from images. I remember images. You guys know that I draw a lot of exhortational notes. It's because when I draw out the notes, those images stick with me the rest of the week, and I can draw on them. So we're gonna do a little bit of exhortational learning from the PowerPoint projector, but the message is going to be just like an exhortation. I'm not gonna muddy up the message by using PowerPoint, just in case anybody's wondering. Now, we're going to talk about building endurance, motivating ourselves to get through life struggles, and keeping our eyes focused on the prize ahead. We just read from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, which is where we're going to spend most of our time this morning, about the idea that we need to take on into our own lives. I'll tell you where I got a bit of this exhortation. I do a lot of searching when I'm feeling a certain way, when I'm struggling, or when I'm looking for some hope. I'm a Googler, and I look for motivational verses, motivational speeches, motivational anything to get me going. And months ago, I spent some time looking at endurance because life has its struggles. Life gives us challenges at time, and yet we're still expected to go through them. I recently took this crazy trip. Some of you who know me on Facebook would have read a little bit about it. In my job, let me give you some background. In my job, what I do is I sell healthcare to businesses, and it's for their employees. Well, selling, it's one thing. Explaining it and getting the employees to understand and getting them to buy it is a whole other thing. And so I do what's called enrollment meetings, where I have to speak to the audience of employees, explain to them how their benefits work, do it in a like fourth grade level so that everybody understands it, which is perfect for me because that's how I understand it, and get them to engage and buy the insurance. Well, I took a trip recently that involved enrollment meetings. And enrollment meetings are actually the most rewarding part of my job because I get to interact with the people, but they're also the most exhausting part of my job because I get nervous. I go into every meeting I have falling apart, just sick to my stomach. And this is what I get to do for a living, is get sick to my stomach every single time I have to do a meeting, which is all the time, right? I get nervous. You know, there's a lot of pressure to be up, you know, drill team, woo, you know, this is enrollment time, you know, and happy and fun and engaging, and it's exhausting. When I get done with meetings, it's like, just give me a nap. Actually, it's more like give me a really big lunch and then give me a nap. But that's how they are, and they take a lot out of me. So 2 weeks ago, I set on this trip, and it's a little hard to see up here. It's a little blurry, but you get the point. And this trip tested my mental mettle like to the nth. It was a trip where it was 11 cities in 7 days. I traveled from Los Angeles. That's Los Angeles in the Black Abyss. I traveled from Los Angeles up to New Jersey, from New Jersey to Southern New Jersey, from Southern New Jersey to Philadelphia, to another part of Philadelphia, to Delaware, which I don't recommend to anybody. And then I went from Delaware, if you're from there, I'm sorry. Nobody's from there. Anyway, I went from Delaware back up to Philadelphia again, and then I went to Maryland, which Maryland's great, crab cakes and all, and then I flew down to Florida, and I went to Jacksonville, Florida. I then drove over to Orlando, Florida, and then I drove over to Tampa Bay, Florida, and then I drove down to Miami, Florida, and then I got to fly home. So that's my crazy trip. Unfortunately, I got sick on my trip. Philly cheesesteaks equal urgent care. I got food poisoning is what they figure. I actually did have to go to urgent care. I was sick and sick and sick. Everything was, Yeah, well, I was sick, all right? Too much graphics. But I'm not going to put it up on the wall, just so you know. But anyway, I had to go to urgent care. I was actually getting dizzy and sweaty and just not being able to hold anything down. And it turns out I had probably some food sickness, which I did eat a last Philly cheesesteak off of a food truck, which is probably where it came from. I didn't know there was such a thing as too many Philly cheesesteaks, but it turns out there's one too many. And anyway, they pumped me with fluids. They took my blood, called me the next day, said, you're fine. Just keep on going. And so anyways, I went off on the rest of my trip. And as you can see, I survived. The way I got through was simply by enduring through these tough times. It was a tough trip. It was back east, so it was rainy and windy and just too much traveling. But I knew that there was an end. When I went to urgent care, I knew all I had was 3 more cities and 5 more meetings. I could do it. You know, I can see the end in sight. I put so much of it already behind me. It was going great. It was very successful. I got a lot of people to pay attention, to interact, to ask a lot of questions, and to enroll. So everything went well. And by enduring through this whole thing, I got reward. And it's the way our life works. I got immediate reward. I get the reward of an income because I did my job and I got people to buy insurance. And for me, if you buy, I win. So that's how that happened. The second thing I got was that reward of satisfaction that you did a good job, right? That you completed your task, you survived, and you made it, and you helped others. That was how I felt for me. Okay, so that's one example of endurance that happened to me recently. Another example of endurance, I don't know if you know Florence Chadwick, you probably don't. In 1952, she set out to swim from Catalina Island to Long Beach to break a record, right? I learned about her from my high school water polo coach because I was training and testing to be a lifeguard. Someday, yeah, you young people, there was a day when I looked better than Aiden. And seriously, I trained and trained and trained. And I remember we had to swim a mile to get around the Ventura Pier and test for this, and we had to do it in under a half hour. And our coach, we'd be dragging and dragging, trying to do that mile. He goes, seriously, Florence Chadwick can swim 26 miles. You can't swim 1 mile, Chris? And I'm like, well, it's hard. And he goes, well, she's from 1952, Chris. You know, and when you hear that, you go, oh, yeah, that's old. Well, she wasn't old when she did it, but you think about it, you know, as a high school kid, I'm a little dumb. And so you do it. But it was a 26-mile stretch that she had to swim from Catalina to California. Catalina's in California, but to us. And in that 26-mile stretch, the water's freezing cold. The ocean, the further you get out, it gets colder. It just gets cold. There were sharks that had to be fought off along the way. It's crazy. And then there was this dense fog. And what happened to her was she swam and swam and swam. And then it got real foggy, and she's swimming and swimming and swimming. And then she says, I can't do it anymore. And she quits at 25 and a half miles because she couldn't see California. She couldn't see the finish line. And that's just horrible when you think about it, right? She went all that way, but because she couldn't see the shore, she couldn't hang in there and couldn't finish the challenge, the event. And so we look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, and we see this endurance that's required of us. And when we look at it, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So endurance. We are to endure through this race. Now, some of us fly through the race, some of us walk through the race, some of us swim through the race, some of us run through the race. Jeff's a runner. He's always going fast, so I consider you a runner. I'm a swimmer. It's a little harder for me to get through the race, but I hate walking, I hate running, so I swim. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Why is this important? Why is the great cloud of witnesses important? It's because people have been there, done that, right? We have to remember let's look at Hebrews 11, 39 through 40, right before. And all these people of faith that we read about in Hebrews 11, all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. They were like us. They were like us, and they are now our great cloud of witnesses, if you think about it. And they didn't reach the finish line yet, right? But they saw it ahead of them, and they focused on it. And so when we hear the faith of many like Abel, like Enoch, like Noah, like Abraham, like Moses, like Joshua, my Sunday school class did Joshua this morning, right? What did Joshua do? Lily, what did Joshua do? You don't remember? What did Joshua do, Mackenzie? Where's Mackenzie? What did Joshua do today?
He led the people through the Jordan River.
And then where did he march around?
Jericho.
Jericho. And what happened to Jericho?
The walls fell down and they blew their trumpets.
That's right. Caesar knew too. See, we look at these people of faith and they listen to God and they follow God. And they do what God asks them because they can see ahead of themselves this reward, this gift that God has given us. They didn't get to see it yet as it was promised, but they see it in a distance. And therefore, in their lifetime, they were able to show forth good works. And they were able to do that which caused them to follow. And it's the same for us. You got to remember, the cloud of witnesses, they weren't complete. They weren't perfect. Right? They made mistakes. Moses, we know Moses' mistakes. He didn't get to go into the promised land because of some of the mistakes he made. Right? But yet, he's listed here as the faithful, as a cloud of witnesses for us, in order that we might be able to learn from their own life struggles. They struggled for us, if you think about it. All of these examples are laid out for us because we are part of this plan. We are a piece of this plan. And so they didn't really miss out, because at the resurrection, they're going to find themselves in the kingdom of God. And so will we. So will we. And I think that's important for us to actually pay attention to just for a moment. The kingdom of God is laid ahead for us. We are on our way to the kingdom of God. And our cloud of witnesses cheers us on. Let's talk about another story. I got lots of stories. They're mostly about me, because I like that. And often they're not showing me in the best light, because I'm like that. But running a race, I years ago in an exhortation, I talked all about this race I ran. I ran a 5K. If you don't know what a 5K is, it's almost a marathon. I mean, really. Really. I mean, you're on your way to a marathon, really. When you start a 5K, you could practically call it a marathon. And I'm going to get one of those stickers for the back of my car, just because I think it counts. I just thought about it. If I ran a 5K sticker on the back of my window, people would laugh at me, I'm sure. Oh, I did it. There were thousands of runners. It was a charity event for breast cancer. There were thousands of runners. We helped raise some money. And if you remember me in the past, remember the Chris that was 350 pounds, Chris, right? I was stretching for the race. I'm getting ready. I'm with all these thousands of runners. You know, I'm doing what you got to do. I'm sweating already, you know, just because I moved a part of my body. But anyway, I start this race. And in this race, everybody takes off. actually, the really fast runners are in front. They take off, and this big wave follows them. But we take a little while to take off. And then when we finally take off, and I think I might have told you guys this story before, a lady next to me only had one leg. And she bolted out of there. And I'm like, what? You know, she actually knew Miriam Badger. Small world. We're sitting there talking to her, you know, while I'm stretching. She actually knows Miriam Badger. So anyway, another one leg. But anyway, we bolt off. And when I say we, I mean them. Right? Because literally, as soon as I took my first step, I cramped up. Oh, everything in my right leg just went solid. And I'm like, oh, I can't go. And Kat's looking at me and she's going, what are you doing? I'm like, I can't run. You know, I trained really hard. I ate all kinds of food for this race. And anyway, I couldn't go. And so I'm limping. And finally it loosens up, right? And really what happened was, thank goodness, a lady was going by with her walker with the tennis balls on the bottom and everything, right? And I finally loosened up. I think it was divine that I wasn't going to lose to the lady in the walker. I did lose to the guy in the chair. So anyway, that's a whole other story. He parted the way for me and I followed him as best I could. But anyway, I did this whole race. Halfway through, there were bathrooms. And if you know how long a 5K is, you can't hold it. You know, it's a distance. And so partway through, I actually took a stop. You know, and that was a bad idea because now I'm done, practically. You know, I finished where I was. And then I realized, oh, Kat's still running. And she took off. She didn't wait around for me. And so I go, I got to keep going. And there's firemen, and they're like rooting everybody on. There's fraternity people, and they're rooting everybody on. They're giving you water and not snacks. And they really made you want to keep going. And so I did. I kept going. And really what it was I didn't want Kat to finish and me not to finish. And some of us need to think about that. Who do you not want to lose to get to the end, right? We all want to win. We all want to win. We all want to win together. And that's what I want. I want to go with Kat together. And so it was great. Kat waited for me at the Coliseum before she entered. She was like, wonder where he is. And she waited and waited. I finally get there. And as soon as I get there, I see her and I sprint. Oh man, I never ran so fast, and I beat her. I totally beat her. She lost. It was on the big screen. I ran through. It's on the big screen. I'm running. Everything moving on me and stuff. And she's behind me, and she's like just trying to keep up. And oh man, I totally took her. It was my race. And seriously, it was my drive. I had to finish. I couldn't lose, and I endured to the end. You got to realize, so many people have endured more than we have, right? I mean, I got through that, you know, but there are people, think about the lady who only had one leg. She made the race. She totally beat all of us. She trained. Some of you guys might have seen her on Amazing Race. She's the same lady that was on Amazing Race. She had one leg. She could do everything. And it's incredible. And it's an inspiration to us to think about the scriptures, think about all those who ran before us and all those who are listed as those faithful that are going to receive the reward. It's an inspiration for us because it allows us to run with that same faith. Okay? So let's talk about the next section. So it says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. That race I ran, man, if I didn't have 100 pounds on me, I would have ran that race so much better. Right? When we train for something, what do? We train to get fit. You know, there's a person in the audience today who ran a crazy Spartan race. Right? He's crazy. He's nuts. They're all nuts. Right? But I watched Josh train, Josh Somerville. I watched him train his heart out to get ready for this race because it's obstacles and it's hard and it's mud and it's everything. And they made it. They made it through the race. We are to strip aside or lay aside every weight and sin. And so this idea is still of a race. I gave an exhortation a little while ago about luggage, trying to get luggage through a narrow pathway. Well, it's not just about getting it through a narrow pathway, it's also about dropping some of it, dropping some of that baggage, right? Lay it aside because you can run so much better. You know, if you think about it, think about a swimmer. I'm an ex-swimmer, and we did everything to get rid of weight. We would put a shower cap on so our hair wouldn't get wet, so it wouldn't weigh us down. Right? Not a shower cap. That's kind of lame. But a swimmer's cap. Right? We would shave our whole body. I was 17. I had no hair. But I shaved it. I shaved it off because if there was anything, I didn't want drag. We wore bathing suits. You know? I mean, it was to have nothing on us so that we can win the race. And that's how we're supposed to run, to try and shed everything we can, shed the extra sinful pounds so that we can run and complete this race. Gordon, who's the strongest man who ever lived?
Jesus.
Okay, thank you. Who's the strongest superhero who ever lived?
Superman.
That's right, that's Gordon's favorite superhero. Superman. You know, I told Gordon I was going to call on him I didn't tell him what I was going to ask him, and he's like, I'm going to get the answer wrong. You didn't get it wrong. No, Jesus, like David said in Sunday school, just say Jesus, you're going to be right half the time. So anyway, it's perfectly right. But Gordon's favorite superhero is Superman. Superman's known to be very, very strong, strongest man in the world. But was Clark Kent? Clark Kent was clumsy. Clark Kent couldn't do a whole lot of anything. He tripped on himself. He was awkward with people. That was Clark Kent. But when he found a phone booth and he stripped off his clothes, he became Superman. Can do anything. And I mean, some people argue he's the greatest superhero ever to live. I disagree with that personally, but we'll not go into that today. I'll talk to you later. But he stripped off everything. He found a phone booth, stripped off everything, and he became super. His power, though, came from another place, if you remember. And that's us, too. We need to strip off everything that holds us back, but we also need to realize our power in our life, our power to succeed, our power to stay focused on the faith, comes from God. It comes from Jesus who laid the race out before us. We rely and need to rely on God for everything. And in order to really let God work with us, we do have to throw away some of the extra stuff that blocks God from us. Right? We can't let God not be able to penetrate our lives because of the excess weight or the excess baggage that we have. We need to try to become lean in God. Lean like a fighting machine, right? So that we can succeed and work towards that goal. And so what kind of things weigh us down? What do we need to strip off? You know, I think about it in my life. You know, sometimes I wonder, is my job veering me off course? Do I get too driven to succeed in my job? That I forget that I'm supposed to succeed in God? Right? Or does my job painfully hurt me? Mine doesn't. Thank you, Jeff. But does your job painfully hurt you to where it causes you to just moan and groan about your life that God has given you? You got to think about that. Do our friends steer us off of this race? Do we socialize with folks that aren't helping us but are hurting us? Do we sometimes, because of social status, not stand up for what is right? You know, I find it very difficult in my job. I want to be liked by as many people as possible because that's my job. But sometimes I can't be liked. Not by that person, because of what I believe. And so that could be a trouble. Do we have underutilized tools? I have a toolbox. It's very, very heavy. And I don't know how to use any of those tools. Why would I carry that toolbox anywhere? Really, all I'm going to carry to a job site is duct tape, hammer, and a screwdriver, probably the wrong one. Right? I mean, that's all I know how to use. But are those tools polished? Maybe I should learn how to use the rest of the tools that are there for me. God has given us so much. You know, every one of us is a tool. I know that sounds worse, but you know, Jeff's a tool. Finally, I got to say it. You know, we are all tools for one another. We all have different talents that can be used to help each other on our way to the race. Think of this as a relay race. Sometimes I carry the load, sometimes you carry the load, but together as a team, we all get to the end of the race. I think we need to take inventory of our equipment. We need to take inventory of ourselves, and we need to release the baggage. Looking forward in Hebrews 12, it says, "And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." There's several facts about Jesus. He is the one who set the race. If you realize the word agon, A-G-O-N, who knows what agon means? Anybody? It stands for struggle. Like in a contest, to struggle. And Jesus struggled before us. You know, we think about it, you know, he lived this perfect life, but it didn't come easy. It was a struggle. Other scriptures where this word's used, Philippians 1, 27 to 30, the conflict is a sign of salvation. You have to go through conflict in order to reach salvation. 1 Timothy 6 and 12, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith." Think about that. Agonize the good agony. Struggle the good struggle. It's been laid out before us to run on. By whom? By Christ. Christ succeeded in a straight line. We don't do that. It's not like that for us. But the goal is to keep striving upward, right? We do struggle. This race is hard. You know, a 5K race I ran, it had an easy track, but what did I do? I veered off. But I got back on. And that's what we have to do in our lives. We will veer off. Hopefully not too far. You know, the prayer this morning is, you know, the object lesson this morning was about, you know, conforming and becoming like God, doing what God wants. And there is that fitting where sometimes we go back to the world and we don't fit, right? And the hope is that we don't reform ourselves into the world so that we don't fall away, but that we keep coming back to the center, so that we can be people and workers and glorifiers of God. In Hebrews 10:32, the great conflict of suffering is like an athletic struggle. Romans 7:23, the inner struggle. Some of us, it's just inner. You know? Pain from inside is causing us to struggle in our walk. Ephesians 6:12, spiritual forces that come at us, that we wrestle with. You know, not spiritual, but I mean worldly forces that we wrestle with. That just combat us. And we have to throw them off. How did Jesus lay out the race? Because of the joy set before him. He raced. He struggled. But because of the joy set before him, he was able to go through the cross. And he laid out a course for us to follow. And so we have to stay focused on him and focused on the vision and the idea of a kingdom that we can actually inhabit, that we can be a part of, that we can enjoy. That's what's set aside for us. That's what's there for us. If we don't do that, we're going to wander off track. Another example, I love top 20 lists. And I love them even better if they're about sports. There's an Olympic runner from Tanzania, and a Tanzanian Olympic runner who came in last place in the 1968 Olympics, I think, the Mexico City Games, right? Came in last place. He fell earlier in the race had to have his knee bandaged while he's on the track of the race, okay? And when he got to the finish line, it was practically dark. People had left. The stands were no longer full. There were people that had just left. You know, we're not going to wait for the end of this race. It's taking too long. But he kept running to finish the race. And when he was asked why he did it, why did he keep running, he said that his country did not send him 7,000 miles to start the race. They sent him 7,000 miles to finish the race. That was his quote. God desires not for us to just start this race. We've been called to finish the race, right? We have to keep our eyes on the goal. If you remember Peter, Peter walked on water. Until when? Until he lost sight of the goal, right? Until he lost his focus. He took his eyes off and he sank. We can't do that. We have to keep focused on the goal. God desires us not to start the race, but he desires us to finish the race. He provided his son so that we can cross the finish line. The world, our lives, the flesh, they all give us all we can handle at times. I mean, more than we can handle, it feels like. And those things can cause us to lose focus. But we have to remember, God wants us to win. God created us so that we would win. So in conclusion, we need to run with endurance by remembering the witnesses that came before us who finished it, who lived their lives to the end with that race, that focus, and that kingdom in mind. We need to reduce the weights that slow us down. We need to become lean, mean running machines for God. And we need to constantly refocus on the goal. You know, when you have bad eyes, what do? You go back again to get a new exam, because if your eyes go blurrier, you get new glasses so you can refocus. Well, we're like that. Our vision gets blurrier. I don't know if that's a word, but it does. Things get foggy. And we tend to lose that focus in our lives. The passage says to remember Jesus, so not grow weary and lose heart. He's been down this path, all the way down it. And he knows that we can do it. Now, remember Florence Chadwick? Who knows who Florence Chadwick is? Bonnie? Who is she?
She swam the English Channel.
That's right. She also swam the English Channel. She's the one that swam that Catalina run and didn't make it 25 and a half miles, missed it. Well, a couple of months later, she did it again. And she made it. We have another chance. We come together every Sunday morning to refocus, to re-energize, to build up so that we can have endurance to run this race. And we get another chance to make it. We have to keep our eyes set on the prize. Now, at this time, we are to look at Jesus. Turn our eyes, our hearts, and our minds towards these emblems. And why do we do that? It's to help us realize all that's been done for us, so that we might be able to have this opportunity to run the race, fulfilling God's plan, giving that glory back to God, acknowledging His Son, our Lord and Savior, who gave His life for us. God has laid a prize in store for us, but we have to seek it. And so I just want to thank Jesus. I want to thank God. And I make a commitment to myself every day that I'm going to try and muster through this, that I'm going to give it everything I got. And yeah, sometimes I fall down. Sometimes I need bandaging. But because of God, because of Jesus and the things that He has done for us, because of our great cloud of witnesses, I hope to be able to seek and reach the great and glorious finish line that's set before me.